Blog Talk Radio.
There are more records of slave ships than one would dream. It seems inconceivable. To you, the fact that for 200 years, ships sailed carrying problems like
non-human violence. In the face of the violence that we've been experiencing for the past 400 years, is actually doing our people a disservice. It's a crime. It's a crime.
Where come the bomb?
Get up!
Greetings. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. Yes, indeed. Kuji Changalia, Haboigani. And if you're not hearing others around you or in your midst talking about self-determination with the intent of striving to obtain it on a realistic manner, then guess what? Don't trust it, y'all. Don't trust it. We're in a new day. It's a new time. Thankfully, the Ma'atik Epoch is on the horizon. And we've been telling you about that for the past couple of years. And guess what? We said in 2017 that the year 2020 was going to be a really, really interesting year. And it was, and then some, and still is. But we're going to get back into that for a minute. Just wanted to give y'all a special edition of New Day for tonight. Of course, again, it is Kuji Changalia. It is, of course, a time for Kwanzaa, but also some specific focuses on the principles. And, of course, we're talking about, in this case today, self-determination. Well, before we begin with tonight's program and discussion, because we're going to bust it up tonight, family, we're going to talk really not just to talk, but want to hear some of the plans of action. That's what we've been putting the call out for and going to continue to do so, because just to have a conversation about, well, this is the problem and this is what we need to do and da-da-da, that's fine, and we're going to do that, but we also want to hear what are some of the proposed plans of action. And not just once a year, not just, you know, for real, what are some real concrete plans of action that have been thought out, evaluated, researched, and so forth? If we can't say we're doing that or have done that or whatever, then can't trust it. Can't trust it. Anyway, we're going to talk more about that a little later on. I want to give some big shout-outs to folks that was with us last night for the first day of Kwanzaa, Umoja. Big shout-out to Baba Yao, New World, Brother Hotep, of course, Sister Denise, Sister Dorothy. She was on with us on Zoom. And again, folks, we're watching carefully because we make things available for everyone when possible. And so we know that folks are still kind of under the COVID thing. And so we had a Zoom meeting or opening for folks that wanted to join us last night starting at 7 o'clock. They could have. And those that wanted to be there with us at the facility, the Great Zion Baptist Church is where we were physically. And, oh, speaking of where we were, listen, that Tai Himba group, along with Brother Wasette and others, tore it up last night. That drumming was so powerful, so powerful. And, again, we want to thank everyone that came out to support and to really get ready for what is kind of past due, overdue, and that is, you know, some real action in our communities. Listen, family, we love the idea that folks are giving away food because people need food. Now, some of that food, I don't know, y'all need to check it because you're not sure not only where it's coming from, but it's really not even healthy. But the point is, the Black Panther Party, as we know, did that 50-plus years ago. So, you know, okay, we give food away. What are we talking about doing that is really going to sustain us as a people, as a community? What's going to really help strengthen our families? Well, we're prepared to bring some of that information to you on our end and invite others to do so as well. In fact, we're hoping that we see it because we ain't been seeing it very much. Also, want to thank everyone for being real receptive to the information last night about the Black Print Agenda 25, the We Charge Genocide 21 campaign. And, of course, last night we provided information about our political prisoners. And so we were able to give out the latest edition of the Jamal Journal. Of course, that's the publication that is released from the Free Mumia campaign, Sister Pam, and so forth. And we also provided information on how you can write to our political prisoners. You know, we kicked the campaign off yesterday using these 7 days for folks to get involved. Get involved and at least send in a card to one of our political prisoners. If you want those addresses, all you got to do is go to the Jericho Movement website. All of the political prisoners' information is there, including where you can write to them at. And we gave out some of that information last night. Of course, again, in the Jamal Journal, it has Mumia's address. But we also had an additional insert that had the information about Baba Sundiata Akoli and also Dr. Matula Shakur. So we provided the you know, address as to where people can send you know, both letters or cards as well as donations. So again, if you want that information, you can go to the Jericho Movement website, or you can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Let me see. The other thing we wanted to bring to everyone's attention is, in talking about self-determination, again, are people familiar? Well, I'm sure all of you are, most of you are, but we're going to remind you and also reiterate what Kujichagulia means when we say self-determination, what it's referred to from an African perspective, because self-determination is used in many forms, in many kinds of dialogues, and in many arenas, but it doesn't necessarily mean what it means under or with the connection to the Nguza Saba Kwanzaa. So, just to recap, to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. Yep. Those are some of the focal areas. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing individually, but also in a collective way that really focuses on those principles or those concepts? Again, to define ourselves. Are we defining ourselves? Not really. I mean, you know, to some degree, but in a manner that is really necessary for today, are we really? Well, again, we can answer that very clearly. Also, naming ourselves. Are we naming ourselves? What about create for ourselves and speak for ourselves? Now, that's why we started off tonight with Public Enemy Can't Trust It, because who's speaking for serious, unapologetic Black folks in America? Who's representing those positions that is not, you know, like the Kamala Harris's and the Al Sharpton's and the, what's his name, Crump? Who's representing the voice in our communities on our position, about our positions on issues and the way we want to be free? Okay, just want to put that out there to everyone, because that's some of the questions and some of the answers we want to start examining. Okay, so that's kind of the focal point for tonight. And again, anything that you hear us raise some issues and concerns about, we also have some at least tentative proposed solutions for that. And that's kind of what the conversation is going to be for tonight. Okay, before we go into that conversation, and we certainly invite you all to join us, and you can do so by pressing 1 when the time comes to come in, we want to just share with you something else. And again, in regards to Kwanzaa and in regards to this being, again, the day of Kujichagulia.
On December 27th, we celebrate Kujichagulia, which means self-determination. To define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves, instead of being defined, named, created for, and spoken for by others.
It's the Kujichagulia.
I know that you love them when I hear you say that. I'm so grateful now for being who you are. I'm a deep, 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 deep,
What I gotta tell you is well worth speaking. Full of fit in the Indian, a black, a part of beauty. Mine is just a free, so keep it. I'm too much to be fair and to have something on the plate. You'll be in some kind of shame, though it's not made. We made it, but me, you just be confident. And God will lead you. Whoever you wanna go, you can hear me at home. Be yourself, you are what you know. And never keep the people get on top of nothing. I'm the eyes behind the hood, so I'm not looking up and stop that.
I know your paper hurts, so we'll write a headache kit for next for sure.
So what's the secret of success? You want to know how to make up the terms you're going to work it. It's way more than just it. Or even on your budget. You never saw the sense that's coming from a message. Getting to a headache. The
All right, there it is. Breaking it down, some of the youth are telling you what Kujichagulia means in their own words and their own voices. So, again, you know, we have to look at defining ourselves. We have to look at creating for ourselves, naming ourselves. So how are we going to do that? Well, I'm going to share with you some insights into the Black Print, Agenda 25, which will be released next year as part of the MWM 25-year anniversary. We've been working on it for a couple of years, so we finally are able to release it. We finally are able to really share it with the masses. There are some who are aware of it within inside of some of our inner circles, but we're now ready to release it for the masses. Perfect example, in September, to be exact, September 1st through the 4th, there's going to be a Reparatory Justice Now Summit in Washington, D.C., and it will also feature our first national pre-plebiscite session. Now, what is a plebiscite? Again, defining ourselves, naming ourselves. Well, again, you know, MWM and our allies and associates and affiliates, we are very serious about what it is we talk about or what it is we say we are about. So in saying how we define ourselves individually and as a people, well, a plebiscite will enable us to do that. And so we're looking at, oh, hold on one moment, let me just check something. Okay, we're cool. We're looking at a referendum, well, that's what in some locations they call them referendums. We're making certain that we call ours as it is, and again, defining for ourselves. We are looking at what we call plebiscite. So let me just give you a quick definition, and there's several, but this one is relatively simplistic. Plebiscite obtains direct popular vote on a matter of importance, but chiefly in order to create some more or less permanent political position and condition. It may be for a new political setup or establishment. Many small countries that became free First World War used plebiscite to choose the form of political system. Plebiscite is often a one-time situation, meaning the event itself, when people express their option while or an opinion, while a referendum is a mechanism that is in operation continuously. So the point is that we have never had a plebiscite. or a pre-plebiscite, something that will enable the group of folk or a group of folk to determine how do they want to be governed, what do they want to be called, where do they want to live as this new body that's no longer under the jurisdiction of someone else. And so the pre-plebiscite session is going to take place in D.C. in September. And we are inviting folks to get involved now. People have a tendency to get on or involved in stuff, and once they see that it's, you know, getting big and growing and all of that, and that's fine, but not a good idea in this case. Don't wait until things start moving to then determine or decide you want to get involved. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. Because that kind of psychosis has to end. And, yes, I call it a psychosis because what we have noticed over these years, and we've paid very close attention to it, is people, again, jump in when they see something is moving. And I tell you, it was amazing to watch the Million Women March in 97, how many in the city would not, you know, support it, endorse it, and definitely would not get involved in the initial work that it took to bring it off. But then once it got started and a lot of the work had already been done, then they jumped in. The last 1-2 months, something like that. That's not going to happen for our reunion. I can assure you of that because, again, we're looking at longevity. We're looking at stability. We're looking at being able to make certain that we can move things forward because, again, we are establishing the first global movement for women and girls of African descent worldwide and establishing what we also call the Global AFCOM Village. The Global AFCOM Village will enable us to implement the Black Print Agenda 25 on an ongoing basis and covering the wide range of interests, issues, concerns, and matters of our people. It's going to also allow us to be well organized. And that definitely is what we need to be in order to not only combat the known, well-known unnatural enemy, but also to make certain that within our communities we are able to put at bay, you know, some of the other stuff that is in our communities that is impeding our growth and development within our communities, the advancement of us being moving forward progressively. So with that said, family, again, we invite you to be a part of the pre-plebiscite group. Every city needs to have a pre-plebiscite, you know, collective or coalition. So if you want more information about that, we invite you to get involved now. It is a part of the We Charge Genocide 21. And, again, you can get involved by emailing us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. And you can also reach us through our National Black Human Rights Network, and that email address is nbhrproject@gmail.com. Again, nbhrproject@gmail.com. Okay, moving right along. And again, we're not going to stay on long tonight, family. We just wanted, again, to highlight tonight's principle. We had the event last night for Umoja, and tonight we're doing a special edition of our radio program to, you know, highlight Kuji Changalia. So let me just give you some insight into what's happening with MWM 25. Again, in connection to the seven principles of Kwanzaa, the Nguza Saba, we're also going to be connecting to the seven principles of Ma'at. So that, too, is an Nguza Saba, but it is to Ma'at. Because remember, Nguza Saba only really means, in Swahili, seven principles. So what we talked about last night and are introducing now is connecting the principles of various teachings, of various philosophies, of various approaches and methodologies that's within our realm from an African perspective, from a Black perspective. And, of course, Kwanzaa is a given one over 50 years, but Ma'at is also a given one over perhaps 5,000 years. So connecting those two together for application enables us, we strongly believe, to make some real progress. Again, we are in a very demonic state in terms of, you know, being in a location called America, but even in the world that is really, you know, disharmonious and disadvantageous to us as a people. And so the question is, how are we going to combat that? Now, last night, and big ups to Brother Gary, who also joined us last night, and we had the conversation about, you know, what do we need to do in our communities to, you know, create a better capability to advance and again, to end some of the chaos and the disharmony and the lack of unity in our community. And Brother Gary said that that we have to, you know, build up our spiritual realms. And he was definitely on point. But again, the question is, how? How are we going to do that? Well, again, MWM with the Black Print is going to be introducing to the masses of our people some of the hows that we now have researched. And to some degree, have even done some trial and error on them because, you know, when you deal with theory, at some point you have to put your theory into effect and see how it's going to work out. And so we've done that. At any rate, one of the things that will be happening during a whole year of commemoration of the Million Women March 25, we call it the resurrection. That entire year, starting on October 25th, 2022, we will begin a process that we call the resurrection. Now, for those that do not know, the Million Women March for 1997, it did have a theme. It was called the Three R's, and that was, of course, a lot of people don't know that because they either never took the time to actually, you know, really examine what was being done and brought forward or, you know, forgot or what have you. But the point is there was, in fact, a theme, and it was called the Three R's, and it represented repentance, resurrection, and duration. And so it's interesting that now, you know, we're able to really highlight this phase of it, meaning resurrection. We're in that phase of it. And in doing so, resurrecting the initial commitment, the initial vision and so forth, but also resurrecting our people, resurrecting the spirit, resurrecting the vision, the dreams, the commitments of our people, of our ancestors and so forth. That too is a part of the now resurrection. So you're going to hear more about that as we proceed, but also during that next year that we kick off resurrection, all over the country we're going to be doing different activities, Detroit, Chicago, New York, you know, Baltimore, because you cannot continue, or we feel we cannot continue to just, you know, isolate ourselves or be isolated, let me put it that way, because that's really what has been going on. It was an attempt to isolate us, you know, to keep us from moving forward. It was some good efforts, I got to tell you, but ultimately it failed. So we're able to rise above it all. But also for next year, we're looking at helping our people to be able to name themselves, name ourselves. So in the bigger scheme, for the free plebiscite, we will be able to vote on what do we want to be called. Well, how do we want to be identified, at least temporarily, to get us to the next step? Because you cannot go into international circles being represented in a manner of just the enslavement part. You have to demonstrate or give an indication that you are moving out of that phase into an independent stage of being. At least that's your focus. That's what we all will always love and embrace the Republic of New Africa, because they literally took those concepts and put it into a formation of practice. And that was 50 years ago. So needless to say, you know what we can and should be doing now. At any rate, the Republic of New Africa had a provisional government, and it was, again, to enable a body of folk who were on a similar same page to identify themselves and to move forward to establish themselves and their position to reach an independent state of being. So now here we are in the 21st century and having embraced some of the concepts that have already been given to us, we now are ready to move forward to do something similar and to go playfully to the next level. So this pre-plebiscite session will literally have us to examine the recommendations, the suggestions on what we can or would like to be called now, rather than just African-American, rather than just, you know, all these other names. And for me, I'm going to keep Black. That's my personal, identification. Whether anybody likes it or not, you know, I don't care because that's my right. And I do that for a reason, and it's based on physics. But anyway, and we'll have classes on that another time. But my point is, as a collective, as a group, we have to come to some decision about what we want to be called. So those things are going to be introduced into the pre-plebiscite session, and the body that is interested in formulating that society, because that is what it's going to initially be first, it'll be a society of free men, free women. And that society will select or vote on a name that it wants to be called for the purpose of establishing an international position. Now, of course, the Honorable Salas Muhammad, and of course, even with the Nation of Islam, they've done some very similar things. With the folk from the Lost Found Nation and those that are aligned with them, they have established a position in the United Nations that is recognized and is called Afro-descendants. Okay, so again, that's not for everybody. Everybody doesn't want to be under that title or be called that, and that's fine. But we support that position. We support the work. And so there has to be other positions, other work. There's other groups out there. You have different groups who have positions that are established in different venues, and they are recognized as such. So on a national, international level, what are Black folks identified as or looked as literally from another vantage point? You see, if you go out of this country, what else would you be looked at other than African American? You see, so that has to be changed, and there has to be efforts to do that. And so, again, we're moving towards the next steps of so-called emancipation. All right, meaning self-determination has to be about self-governance, has to be about independence. And we now have the tools and the capability to do this. So again, for the next year, we'll be doing various sessions, pre-plebiscite sessions, also holding in our communities what we call inquests. Rather than us holding right now tribunals, we want to hold in our communities inquests for the We Charge Genocide 21. That way, it enables the masses of our people to get directly involved in a process where we can begin to identify by city the various types of human rights violations that are occurring in our cities. This is real organizing, but it enables us also to identify some critical areas by way of data, but also making certain that our people have direct access to this process along with the kind of input, whatever kind of input they wish to have. That's why we talk about boots on the ground and in that make certain that we are able to connect to the masses so that, you know, we're not continuing this what we call sheeple process. We don't want our people to just be followers. We want them to be able to really comprehend at least some of what's actually being done and why. So, okay, so that gives you a little overview as to what the Black Print 25, Agenda 25 is. The other thing that we're looking at doing in the spirit of self-determination is for those folk who are ready to deal with name changing. You are ready to, if not change your name, add on to the name. because we know for some, for historical purposes, based on your family, you want to be able to keep certain direct lineage, you know, with the family. Okay, but that doesn't mean that you cannot add on a name that represents you. And that's tradition also. If you look at African tradition, you will see that for, you know, millenniums, there will be a time where a person would go through a different cycle and they would get another name added on to the name that they have. That's why you will see like four or five different names for one person. Because one would represent their birth day or born day. Another would represent an attribute that an elder gave them, or, you know, there's different variations. So this is another thing that we are now bringing forward in our community, and that is classes and sessions that is both arts and culture, so that we can begin to know more about some of the historical significance and actual traditions of our people. So for Philadelphia, for example, we are forming or have formed, which we talked about last night, our Black History Club. We have one that deals specifically with Black history and another that deals with African diasporic history. All right. So there's different, you know, segments. But we wanted to make certain, and once we do it here in Philly, we'll certainly be taking it to other cities, because what we're finding is, in a lot of the cities, the history for that city is being either, you know, pushed to the side, plagiarized, you know, or just totally dismissed. That's what's happening here in Philly. And a lot of people don't even know some of the great history of Philly. We just commemorated this year the 50th year anniversary of Philadelphia International Records. And again, you know, because it is history, it's a historical significance for the city to have produced the music that it did. And so we know that for the most part, it will not be forgotten in certain realms, but in our communities, how's that information being disseminated? And it's the same thing in other kinds of things, just like the Million Woman March. That was intentional to not highlight it in the city, because they couldn't co-op it the way they wanted to. They decided to try to neutralize it or to eliminate it. And this has happened all over the country because our historians don't even talk about it or mention it or include it in their, you know, kinds of events and so forth and so on. But we'll get back into that a little later, because that's a whole nother issue as we talk about the principles of Kwanzaa and unity and those types of things. We have to, you know, be able to show how in some very simplistic ways that's not being done or embraced. And again, we can't just look at it as a, you know, 7-day event. It has to be something that we look at on a, you know, 360, 365 kind of schedule. And so that is, again, why we're connecting Nguza Saba for Kwanzaa to Nguza Saba for Ma'at, so that now self-determination, umoja, will now be connected to truth, justice, reciprocity, honor, balance, law, righteousness, etc. There's now some other connecting factors or elements that we now can utilize. So we're going to be introducing that to you again in the Black Print Agenda 25. We call it Divine Practical Unity. Just like we once had something called Functional Unity and also Operational Unity. These were methods and philosophical kinds of things years ago that people did embrace in order to move things forward, and it did help and it did work. And so we will also now create our own self-determination, new kinds of approaches, philosophies, etc. The other thing that you're going to see for 2022 in the spirit of self-determination is, again, how are we going to, you know, deal with having our own political parties? Isn't it time? Why are we trying to still encourage people to vote in the way that we're voting? I mean, again, we have to now utilize some other strategies. So, you know, why not create our own independent parties? And yeah, we know that the, you know, the main parties are what they are and, you know, how they operate, fine. But are we recruiting our own candidates? Are we creating capability to keep them accountable? Are we financing their campaigns? Because that also helps keep them accountable, by the way. When you got skin in the game and you putting money in somebody's campaign, that's why things are happening the way that they are, meaning people do what they want to do because their funders tell them that that's what they need to do because that's how they got, that's why they got funded. Speaking of that, funding, in the spirit of self-determination, again, where are our independent institutions? And who's trying to build that and who's supporting those that are trying to build that? Again, these are critical questions that will now be examined. And we're going to give feedback as to what our findings are in this next 20 to 22 year. I mean, 22 to 23, actually, because it's a year-long thing that we're launching for next year, starting October 25th, which will be the actual day of our celebration, commemoration, or observance. And again, the spirit of self-determination, we are definitely making certain that the issue of health. And so, again, we've made an inquiry the other evening, which we've done previously, in establishing our own health course for those that are interested in becoming practitioners in various fields of alternative and holistic health. We're getting ready to provide you with courses that you will be able to obtain. Some of them will be certification courses. Of course, a few weeks back, we had Dr. George Love with us, and we just made an inquiry in hoping to do a correspondence course with Dr. Matula Shakur, and there's others. So again, we have to look at how are we going to do the things for ourselves, as we said, name ourselves, create for ourselves, identify ourselves. Those are the areas of self-determination that we're certainly looking at. So lastly, with that said, next year, and I mentioned this a little while ago, those who are interested in, again, changing their name or adding on to their name, we're going to make that available to you so that the forms that you need for those who wish to go that route, you will know how to do that to so-called legally. But we also have other apparatuses that are being put in place for you to be able to do it through your faith-based institution. Now note, this is going to be really what we call evolutionary. We'll be introducing faith-based kinds of entities whereby those who are spiritually inclined will be able to join on to a faith-based institution. For example, African spirituality falls into many realms. And so rather than to say specifically it's Baptist or it's Islamic or it's Buddhist or whatever, we are bringing forward what we call the establishment of a faith-based institution that encompasses the various religions that our people are involved in. And they could certainly do that, but you can be involved in a faith-based institution. And of course, you know, there's different other names for that, interdenominational and so forth and so on. The point is to have our own because it gives you additional leverage. And what that means is that there are certain things that can be done through a faith-based institution. Like your name changing becomes an established legal tool. You have a right to do that. You have a right to have whatever name. Oh, by the way, that is a human right, y'all. You have the right to have the name that you wish to have. You see, so we're going to be doing classes about that. So this just gives you a general idea again as to where we're going with these things that we've been talking about over the years. We do have action plans for some of these things, and we certainly welcome you all to get involved. Because I'm going to tell you, just like I said in 2017, when I told you about what was going to be happening, although I didn't know the specifics were going to be Corona, but I knew the year 2020 was going to be like it was going to be something else. I guarantee you in the next 5 years, folks that don't have some stuff in place to fight back, to deal with some real resistance, well, I can tell you, it's going to be a serious problem. Okay, so what we're going to do is open up the phone lines for all of you. If you have a question or a comment or something that you would like to share with us, we certainly invite you to do so. We, again, are interested in connecting with other groups, organizations, individuals who are on a similar or same page, who want to now deal with or be a part of a society that is a Kujichagulia society, all right? Dr. Robert Brock had years ago something called the Self-Determination Committee. And so we're saying that we want a society that is focusing on self-determination. And so this will take us to the next step. So again, we encourage all of you to get involved in this conversation if you choose to. You can press 1, and we certainly welcome you coming in. In the meantime, let me just focus on something here. There was another something else I wanted to share with you. Let me see if I can find it. Okay. There's some other information on plebiscite I wanted to give you. At any rate, one of our new websites is up, and we advise you to go check it out. It's still being upgraded, but there's still information there for you, and it is the WCG21. .com. Again, WCG21.com. That's the We Charge Genocide 21.com. Also, the new Million Woman March 25 website is being worked on, and we should have that for you shortly. And again, we're going to keep you really, really posted on how we are developing. We have a new blog coming up as well for the We Charge Genocide. We'll tell you more about that later as well. Okay, we have one person that wants to chime in or come in on the conversation. And again, we encourage all of you to do so. This is an open mic night for Kujichagulia self-determination. And caller, you are at 5718. 5718, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Hotep and blessing. Hotep and blessing. This is Chief Elder Minister coming from Georgetown, South Carolina. How you doing, my sister?
Oh, greetings to you, my brother. Thank you for calling in.
Is this Sister Empress?
Sure is.
It's a long time to see. I just left a message on your Facebook Messenger for you to get in contact with me. So please, within 24 hours, get in contact with me. My phone number is on there.
Oh,
I don't know
it.
If you got
it. I see your number. I see your number right here. Yep.
Do you remember me for the Black Council of Elders?
I can't say that I do. What city are you in again?
Georgetown, South Carolina.
Okay. I don't, my brother. I don't, but I'm certainly thankful that we're reconnecting.
Definitely. To branch on what you're speaking of for this topic here, because I don't want to be way over in that field. There's definitely a solution. And I've been working on a solution since June 13, 2013, to build one of the very first self-sustaining communities here in Georgetown, South Carolina.
Okay.
And like I've been pushing this fight for the longest, but I know during this pandemic, our ancestors said, you're going to get it this time.
That's right.
You know, and because what we had did is created an agenda for the whole state of South Carolina that targets our people specifically, you know, I was wishing that everything could have came into our reality before this pandemic hit, so this way our people have a place of refuge, you know, against this European caucasoid and everything else you want to add with that, you know what I'm saying, a safe haven, you know what I'm saying, and definitely claiming our sovereignty. That's most important, because if you're claiming yourself as an African-American, you may be detained and locked up. I'm putting this out there in the airwaves. You see what I'm saying? And so this is our time to rise up. You know, it ain't as much people waking up that I like to see. Maybe as the Bible say that 199,000 is awake. You see what I'm saying? Because I do reach out to people here in North America and around the world. And so I see through this storm a great opportunity for our people. You see what I'm saying? But we just have to, if we can't come together on the unity, that doesn't mean that we can't be unified come to the table. Because my system, if we don't get it right this time, it's going to be a wrap.
Because Baba, you know what?
I'm
so glad to hear you say that, because, you know, now people, I mean, I've been saying it, but now people can hear others saying it. And I'm so glad to hear you say that, because a lot of our people do not realize, and I'm not talking about the people who, you know, of course, don't know certain things. I'm all the ones who supposedly have studied Dr. John Henry Clark and Dr. Ben and all of, you know, the people who you would think would get or understand some of what's going on now, unfortunately, don't. But like you said, time is running out for folk that either going to make some moves. And again, I, and others, we just have pieces of the whole, you know, of the whole. You know, I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers, but we got some stuff that certainly is in the mix.
That's right.
And that's what this program and other programs, we want our people. Brother, I thank you so much for sharing the information that you have, and let me just go on record to say I can't wait to hear more so that we know how we can support. Okay?
Yes.
See, that's
what
this
is
now about. You know, we want to see what parts of whatever can we, so just like you just said, there's some portions of things that we can be unified with and on without trying to take it over, and that's been my dilemma over the years in developing what I've been developing. It's like people want to try to take it over, you know, and so I know that it's happened with others as well. So now we're very careful and we're very clear about, you know, what's going on. But anyway, I digress. I want you to continue what you're saying, and definitely after the program we can talk, or tomorrow, because we want to get some action now done. We're going to take full positive advantage of our reunion next year. We don't know how it's going to play out because of COVID. You know, they keep going up and down, you know, with it's you know, worse, it's better. So we can't say the specifics of anything just yet, but we can tell you some major stuff is definitely going to happen, and we're going to use that to our positive advantage. So I just want to put that out there to you. But please share more about, you know, you talked about a sustainable community. There's a sister in Tennessee. She's actually getting ready to run for governor. Very beautiful sister. And she has a museum. She has, when the pandemic hit, she had already stockpiled. And not knowing that the pandemic was coming, but just, you know, being a Black woman who's in tune, she had stockpiled a lot of water, you know, canned goods, da, 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 da. She had enough stockpile to feed, I think she said, 500 people for like a year.
Wow.
You hear me?
Wow.
I'm telling you. And I'd send pictures out, because she sent me the pictures, because I was supposed to go down there, but the pandemic thing cut all that out, but she sent me pictures. And I'm so again, when you talk about sustainable, tell us more about, you know, what you're projecting and what you're working on so that others can hear. And lastly, before I go back to Baba, There's another group. There's another group in Chicago who we've connected with. See, this is the work we've been doing over these years. We have a group, a family, we call them our extended family in Chicago. They have something called the Black Agenda, the consortium.
Okay.
It's the National Black Agenda. I have it. I'm going to be, they asked me to contribute to it. They've had it for several years. But now, you know, next year is the 50th year anniversary of the National Black Power Conference. So
okay.
That's happening next year in Newark, New Jersey. So
okay.
So I will be a part of that, and we'll be presenting, again, some of these information pieces we'll be presenting to that group. Because, you know, that first Black Power Convention, that was 5,000 people, I think, came to that. That was 50 years
wow.
ago. Yeah, in
wow.
Gary, Indiana. It was in Gary, Indiana. Y'all can research it. 50 years ago, come next year, it will be the 50-year anniversary of the first National Black Political Convention in contemporary times that drew 5,000 people, and that is how Black folks started getting into political offices as a result of that particular convention.
Okay. Wow, that is deep. Yeah, we definitely is going to have to update our contact information and everything. Now, getting back to a self-sustaining community,
yes.
That we're looking at this old slave plantation, and it's about 18 acres of land. And
okay.
I already did the numbers, and I mean, I got everything set of what's going to be on there. And, you know, to have a self-sustaining community, you got to
right.
have your own currency and your own banking system, which
right.
is going to be there too. And the most important thing is, we'll be building over 5,000 new low to moderate income homes that you will never have to paint
mm-hmm.
or do any kind of maintenance on it. But the key thing to that, you can have the house is yours, but the land will stay in a trust because
okay.
we don't want if something happen to heirs and you know how that thing goes and people going there. We don't want the wrong individuals having access. You know, you can have access,
right.
but you can't own the land.
That's
so
right.
creating
That's
that
right.
and over 5,000 jobs that is well needed in the state of South Carolina as well. So
mm-hmm.
then we're going to set aside just 10 acres for agriculture.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? And
yes.
let me say this, and I'm going to say this with deep respect. Please don't get me twisted, audience, but hear me out. People talking about organic.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not in a controlled environment, it's not organic.
Mm-hmm.
Because we
mm-hmm.
know about the chemtrails. We know
right.
that Great Mother Earth land is contaminated. You see what I'm saying? With all kinds
right,
of toxins
right.
that come from the chemtrails. You see
right.
what I'm saying? And so that's why I say that it has to be in a controlled environment with the right compost, the right filtration system for the water and the fish and all that got to be tied into one. Now, that'd be 100% organic because you're controlling everything, the air, the water, the compost, everything is being monitored for any contaminants. You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
and so
yes.
also we want to build a nice coliseum out there so that this way when we want to have different conventions, we ain't got to go to somebody else. We
That's
coming
right.
to ourselves 360 degrees. That's a complete circle. We don't need this system no more. We never did need it, but we had those house Negroes, those Uncle Toms. I'm not going to call
That's
them
right.
out by name. You see what I'm saying? But you know
okay.
what I'm speaking to. You know what I'm speaking to. The Al Sharpton, he don't run and he don't have the voice for all of us over here
That's
in North
right.
America.
That's
you
right.
You see what I'm saying? And so we, the agenda. See,
mm-hmm.
when our people hear about agenda, we think that we included, but we didn't create nothing. Well, I created an agenda for our people. And this will be a role model project for other states to follow. once this is up and going and running and everything and it's generating a positive cash flow, we going on to phase two. But this phase one is a hell because I've been going at the people, and I mean some big people, and I ain't scared of them. And don't you know, sister, I spent $38 and sent out a certified letter to three entities, and I gave them a warning. And those three entities was one is Henry McMathers, our governor in Columbia, Queen Elizabeth at Buckingham Palace, and Donald Trump. And all those, let me tell you, see, these jokers seen me coming. You see what I'm saying? These jokers, they can see future into the future 50 to 100 years. Don't get it twisted. You see what I'm saying? And but they never anticipated that one was going to rise up in the midst of all this storm. And I told them, I said, listen, I'm giving y'all one opportunity, let's set a meeting. Because I ain't finna beg y'all no more. Because our ancestors already showed me that we are greater than he that's in the world. So it's telling us that the power is inside of us. If we connect with our kundalini, our chakras, and do our meditation and call upon the universe and the cosmos to help guide us through this, we will win every time. And to my brothers and sisters, the king and queens out there in the conscious community, y'all need to quit. And I'll call you out, too. Y'all need to quit. And the reason why I say that, we are in a spiritual war and a physical war that's going on. Like the sister just said that about the people over there in Tennessee, well, me and my chief is, we got enough rations and everything to last us at least a year. And I did three state of emergency address way before this pandemic had happened. Let me tell you how I'm connected to our ancestors. I called it. I said, something is getting ready to happen globally that's going to affect every man, woman, and child, and insect, and every living thing that's on this earth. And we in this pandemic. People calling me now saying, Chief Elder, thank you for the survival kit, what I need to store around my home just in case snooks decide to close their market. You see what I'm saying? They see, and we're not looking at the little signs. When you go in these shoppers' places, you don't have, some aisles is empty. Then you got this other place over here that you only can use your credit card or your debit card. One place you can use cash. You see what I'm saying? And then I was just, me and my chief was in Sam's today. And we seen a robot cleaning the floor and nobody was driving it. So what is that telling us? Telling us that a lot of jobs is getting ready to be eliminated. Even down to the doctors and the nurses. You
Let me just interject for one moment. Because, see, again, you know, a lot of our listeners, we've had these conversations for, we've had this program now for like 13 years. So our position and point now is to implement plans of action. You see, and that's why we want to connect with you and others that have plans of action, because some of us are already on the page of we know what time it is. So
that's
our
right.
position now is, what are we going to do? You see what I'm saying? For those who are familiar with, say, for example, the King Alfred Plan, and we talked about this the other night as well. This stuff was introduced to us 35, 40 years ago with the King Alfred Plan and then reintroduced with, I think it was Rex 85 or something like that. The point is, we know what time it is. We now have to, because we already know it's a spiritual war. We already know what they're getting ready to do because they just showed us with COVID already. It is how to implement the at least possibilities of resistance. You see, what's those steps? See, that's where we're at with this. So again, when we do the pre-plebiscite session, we will allow people to present in the forums whatever information they want to share to educate our people, to get them involved, that allow them to support, join in, do whatever. Because it's time for action. That's where we're at now, plans of action. Because without that, you know, we are doomed. And you know, and like
right.
you know, some of us grew up in the Christian church, and I remember one of the sayings during that time was, "Not everybody's gonna be saved." Well, not everybody's gonna be saved. So we're clear
That's
about
right.
that now. You see, so for those who get it or will be getting it, cool. For those that don't, look, love you. You know, 100 years have passed since the Honorable Marcus Garvey. Therefore,
right.
I'm not going to keep repeating this stuff.
That's
I'm
right.
not.
No more.
I would suggest
no.
others don't do it either. We already had 100 years. Y'all have Elijah Muhammad.
That's right.
Malcolm X. We can go on and on about people who have shared with us. And again, and lastly, and I'm going to go back to Baba. When we say black consciousness, we're talking about the Steve Biko black consciousness. You see?
Yes. Yes.
Representing in that manner. But these are the things that now have to be clear. You know, we have an entity with us. I don't know if you're familiar with Torpedo Pot. Torpedo
no, ma'am.
Pot, that brother, when you see what that brother has invented, developed, again, we have did this research now for 24 years to connect with the people that we know are serious, have the commitment, and the capability. So I'm going to email you information about Torpedo Pot because that's going to be one of the entities we're going to work with in terms of agriculture.
Okay, great.
He created
great.
A system. This black man created a system where you literally, right in your house, you can grow, you know, minimally, but still right in your house, you can grow tomatoes, cucumbers, et cetera. That's
okay,
how brilliant.
Great.
Yep.
Great.
I
think I may know who you're talking to because I was talking to another brother, and I can't recall his name right now. This guy created this. It's something like a compost that it would rejuvenate the soil
right.
and bring it back to its oneness. And
right.
I was supposed to call him and order a sample because we got a whole bunch of housefly flowers around here, plants and things. And he was
right.
saying
right.
that you use this. It's better than Miracle-Gro because what
right.
it does, it makes the roots more thicker. And so
right.
once the root
yep.
is grown more thicker, the plant becomes thicker and bigger.
Right. Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And just like branching off to what you were just speaking to, is that with the solution, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. All we got to do is polish it. And this
That's
time
right.
around, let me say this. This is what the ancestor is speaking. We don't have to go to war physically because, see, there's a collective force that's over our heads that's waiting. You see what I'm saying? And they saying the reason why they're not going to intervene in our affairs right now is because the power is already inside of us if we manifest it. See, we got powers and capabilities, but being Europeanized, it suppressed that energy, that knowledge that's inside of us. So it's more to the conscious community, and it's more to consciousness, and it's more to awakening once you have an understanding, not an understanding, an understanding of everything that's in you because the cosmos and the universe is inside of us. Hello, somebody
okay.
tell
so
me
again,
something.
So again, Baba, stop right there, please. See, again,
yes.
for me right now, and I think for others as well, and don't get me wrong, I totally agree, but I don't want to keep talking about it.
Right,
let's demonstrate
right.
it. Let's do it.
That's
you
right.
You see what I'm saying?
That's right.
Because I've been
That's
hearing
fair.
This for years. And so now it is, what's your plan to manifest whatever it is we're talking about? Because I got one. And I'm sure others do too. And that's what we're talking about, bringing these pieces together and then putting it together. Everything doesn't work for everybody, but somebody might have something that does. So, you know, again, if folks have options, they can select whatever formula or plan of action that works for them. But we already know we're in a war. We already know So what's the plan of action to now activate whatever? That's where we're at now.
The plan of action.
For example, I mentioned earlier that we're now formulating a spiritual institution. So that means any priest, priestess, minister, whatever, doesn't matter, but as long as it's about liberation and justice for our people, they can be a part of that spiritual institution. So
what does
that mean? That means that on a collective basis, whatever philosophy or whatever on the spiritual realm, religion, whatever, it's within that component, right? Now, this enables us to do several things. One, to create that agenda that we need from every angle, from every aspect. But also, as I mentioned earlier, for those who want to now either rename themselves or take on another name or whatever, right within that circle, you have the capability, because your nana, your priest, your minister, all of them, they have the capability to do marriages. They have the capability to do name changing, et cetera.
Within
that unit. See, again, if we don't have plans of action that literally can map out, here's how we are going to do this, then we will keep regurgitating the conversations.
I agree with you 100%. And you have my full support. And back, and like what you're saying, how can we do it?
If
a person don't make it in their mind that they willing to sacrifice it all, ain't no need for them to come out here playing, because
that's
what it's going to take, that ultimate sacrifice. And I have done that, and I'm going to do it.
I know you have. Yes.
And this is going to be the last time I demonstrate this right here, the power that I'm talking about. See, they just get here. I've been here with the Gullah Geechee people.
Yes,
you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I remember now. I remember. Yes, sir. I remember.
I don't want to be long-winded because I want you to let somebody else come in, but I had to throw this one out there. One of my business partners, I am versatile, is in North Carolina. He said he was going to tune in, and I hope he got his ears open and he got his finger on that one getting ready to hit it so that he share it with you as well. And I definitely want to put this out there. You know, our deepest condolences going out to his family for the transitioning of his mom. So hopefully he'll chime in too. But me and you definitely going to reconnect with
yes,
24 hours.
Absolutely.
That's guaranteed.
Absolutely.
And so I appreciate it. It is an honor to be speaking with you again. And as we say at the African Village, Hotep and Blessings, sending out positive energy for healing and spiritual growth and protection around the world. Ashe.
But Baba, listen, before you go, and again, I'm so glad I was able to, it came back into my brain. I'm so happy. And yes, we are definitely going to talk and move this thing forward. That's the beautiful thing, because again, you are definitely one of the entities that understand, overstand, whichever you prefer, understand the necessity to do certain things, again, to name ourselves, to, you know, all of these things are real things in you and the folks that you are working with, have worked with for years. You've done it. So, again, I salute you because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the Republic of New Africa, the Nation of Islam, and others, they have made the effort, you know, to show that this is what can be done. And we just have to now go to the next level. We have purpose. perfect examples.
That's right.
And again, it's not perfect. You know, I get so tired of people. Well, they didn't do this, and they could have done that. Yo, damn it, what are you doing? You know
that's
what I'm saying?
Right.
People
that's
always
right.
want to talk about what you didn't do, but can't show you
that's
and show
right.
you what they are doing. And lastly, on that note, this was a big lesson for me. This is when I really realized how serious our predicament really is. Anytime
yes.
you see 2 million black women or African women or melanin, whichever one y'all want to call, go with, okay? We'll get to that later. But you see 2 million. Now, let me tell you what I realized later. And again, I'm not the brightest bulb in the box, but I'm definitely not the dimmest one either. But this is what I learned. If you have 2 million black women, I know we're having with the brothers too, so I'm not addressing that. I know what I know about this, right?
That's
Do
right.
Do you know that,
right.
that not one so-called historian, not one so-called financial person amongst our people, and I'm not, you talking about name some names, I will later name some names of very significant people who are supposed to be and are really well-rounded when it comes to finance. But do you know
That's
I've
right.
never received a call, I've never received a message, nothing that says, sister, listen, here's what, you know, let's talk. Let's at least discuss the possibilities of what we can do to help our people.
That's
now,
right.
This is what I learned. How are you going to see 2 million black women and then not even enter into your brain in any iota that could be a power base to change things in such a way that it could dramatically change all across the board?
Yes.
And when I realized
yes.
that we didn't even have that going on, that's when I knew I better get to work for real.
That's right.
You see?
That's right.
Because
that's
my field is not finance, or my field is not history. I mean, you know, I know something about these areas, but those are not my areas of expertise. I wasn't trained in those areas. You see?
Okay.
Now, over the years, uh-huh. I've gotten better, trust me. But I'm saying, you know, I would have thought that those who had those areas of expertise, who talked about black power, et cetera,
that's right.
you know, the need for us to be economically, and all that, I would have thought they would say, sis, listen, you done showed me what you
yes.
can do. Now, let's see what we can put together, but not a one. Not a one.
Not a one.
Not
wow.
a one.
Wow.
So that's when I realized, you talk about who's in trouble, I realized that 24 years ago when not one, and even historians, how do you see 2
That's
million
right.
black women and you don't find that of being some historical significance? And you do
wow.
every year Black History Month. You do every year, I don't know, some of these people who are heads of departments in college, at
yes.
colleges. They do Black History Month and they do Women's History Month in every college all over the country. And we have
wow.
never been included.
No,
and you
been
talk about
included.
The historically right. You talk about the historical black colleges. Here you have a
mm-hmm.
women's college, Spelman, you know, and a couple of never been invited. So
wow.
again, we're going to point out not only the contradictions, but the truth as to
yeah.
why we have not advanced and developed, why certain people get a lot of notoriety in terms of representing us. But now we're definitely smarter. We're definitely more Kujichagulia oriented.
That's right.
And my brother,
That's right.
we are going to
That's
connect.
Right.
We're going to, you definitely have, you listen, and I put it on record, we are pledging our support in the development of what you are presenting. We just have to map out to see the specifics as to how we can connect
yes.
it. Because I know we're going to reach at least 2 million people next year. You hear me?
Yes.
We're going to reach one way or the other. Again, we can't say
That's
it's going
right.
to all be physically, but we know with social media, because we didn't even, 25 years ago, we didn't have Facebook and Instagram and all of that.
That's right.
But yet
That's
we,
right.
But yet, yeah. But yet we brought together 2 million people physically and another 10 million virtually.
Yes, yes.
And we didn't even
and
have
you
Facebook and all that.
If I can interject for just one second, let me tell you what's getting ready to go down. You mentioned the 2 million women. This time around is all about femininity. But see, these women, these queens, they have to have the honor to take the throne. It's your time now. See, the king is nothing but the protector. We the protectors.
That's right.
Of the village.
That's right. Ashe.
So y'all take your throne and watch the king's deck and fight if
Wow.
We come.
And this is... Oh, and this is what we said last night at our Kwanzaa event. We said that when our black men stand up, and then we said for our women, we are being negligent. See, we got to call a spade a spade. We're being negligent if we are not helping, particularly these young girls, to know thyself. And one of the positions that we're taking for next year is raising up the mother of civilization.
That's
See, we not only want our women and our girls, you know, to know, and again, we have history in terms of, in every city, well, okay, let me dwell a minute. We have presently 7 sister cities. We'll be doing an event for in the next year, if we are allowed to health-wise. In all those cities, we have researched, like, the women who have made contributions in those cities. For example, Chicago, you have Dr. Frances Quest Welsing, Dr. Barbara Sizemore, and Catherine Dunham. Just to give you 3, right? So in everything that we go in, we'll highlight black women, and specifically black women who cared about black people.
That's right.
See, Dr. Frances Quest Welsing, Dr. Barbara Sizemore, you know, Kathleen Dunham, you see. So this is how we designed our program for once we kick it off next year. For 7 cities to start with, we have identified black women in those cities who we are going to highlight at our, you know, programs, et cetera, to educate our people, but also to make sure these young girls have the examples that we want them to have from a historical from a professional perspective. Because, again, Dr. Frances Quest Welsing, she was a PhD in psychiatry. Dr. Barbara Sizemore was the superintendent, the first black superintendent of the school in Washington. She was the superintendent. But she was from Chicago, just like Dr. Frances Quest Welsing. She was born in Chicago.
See,
this is the kind of information that we will be making certain that all of our people, but helping our young girls. Because what we tell people is this. We're not talking about feminism. We're saying that if black women in particular do not put forth a major effort to nurture these young girls, you got to remember, the young girls today is going to be somebody's mommy.
That's right.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
Yes, ma'am.
They're going to carry that baby for 9 months. You understand?
That's right.
And nobody else, you see what I'm saying? There's some part of this that no one else can talk about or deal with. So given those facts, not just opinion, the facts, if we do not give this health information to these young girls, if we do not give them a sense of well-being about their own bodies and self and development and all of that, what do you think the next generation is going to be like? Because mommy
ain't
going to
be
messed up. That's right.
Because like I said earlier, if we don't get it right, if we don't get it right this time, it's going to be a wrap. Because they can get that chip. See, what they're trying to do and what they is doing, because we don't even know if we got a chip inside of us now because it's about the size of a rice grain. And what they're trying to do to the human beings that's left, the ones that didn't want to fight on the liberation for the front line, the ones that say, well, I'm going to take the shot, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, well, they're going to link your mind up to AI, which is artificial intelligence. And then you really ain't going to have control over your mind or yourself. So that's why the next generation is here today. Today, because the day is tomorrow, the past, and the future. You see what I'm saying? That's the way it's going down. So
that's
what we do today is going to count that we're going to bring it into our existence and our reality. That's how
no
we're going to get
it.
That's
no
how
doubt
we're
about
gonna
it.
Because well, I'm tired of being sick and tired.
That's right. That's right. Well, Baba, I want you to stay there. I want you to stay there because, again, we're talking about solutions or at least presenting possibilities of alternatives. And we know that our people are mentally, all of us are damaged in some kind of way, shape, fashion, or form. So one of the things that we've done over these years is connect with, you know, conscientious, committed brothers and sisters who are in various fields. So
That's right.
A few years ago, I had the opportunity to connect with a brilliant brother named Dr. Ashanti, Kwabinan Ashanti. And through him, I was able to meet a brother I'm going to bring in a few moments because we're going to be working on the book and a couple of books, actually. But one of the books is going to help to dismantle the Willie Lynch chip. Okay. Ooh. So when you said chip, that reminded me. Because, again, we don't realize that psychologically a lot of us are functioning in ways that have been planted in our brains. So what is going to be some of the processes to if not remove it, at least lessen it, reduce it?
That's right.
You see?
That's
right. If you have cancer, they either try to at least, you know, minimize the tumor, right, or remove it all the way. You see?
That's
so we're dealing with a cancer. So we figured out we have to start working on how, and again, in naming ourselves, that's a part of it. Declaring our sovereignty or independence or self-governance, self-determination,
that's
a part of it. But we've got to also look at, as you said, the spiritual, but we've got to also look at the other connecting elements to that. So family, again, stay right there, Baba, because I'm going to bring in my brother, Dr. Hashim, who again, he teaches. He'll tell you about that. But we're going to be working on a book, a couple of books, and one of them in particular focuses on how we can begin to lessen this destructive behavior of our people that have been planted in our spirits, in our beings, in our souls. You know, how are we going to clean that stuff up? So let me do this. Hold on. Stay right there, though. All right.
Okay, I'll be standing by. I'm going to put myself on mute.
All right, Baba. Thank you. Hey, Dr. Hashim, how you be this evening?
Greetings. I'm doing well, sister. I'm doing well. Thank you. And thank you for having me on the show. I'm always appreciative to be on the show and share what I can in any capacity. So thank you again.
Oh, absolutely. Well, for those who are not, and thank you for, I know it was kind of a quick call tonight. Because,
it was.
You know, we had, I know.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes we had to move with the spirit. And,
you
know, it was like, yo, y'all got to talk about Kuji Tangalia and really bring that energy in with some solutions or at least potential solutions. So before we continue, just share briefly, Dr. Hashim, a little bit about you so folks can become more familiar with you because you're going to be a part of the family on an ongoing basis now.
Right. Well, as you mentioned, you had an opportunity to meet a brilliant scholar that many do not know about, or his name has not been spoken about amongst some of the scholars that we know, like Dr. Wade Nobles, Dr. Malisa Kenti Asante, Dr. Naeem Akbar. And again, these are just some of the names I'm familiar with. And in my generation, of course, there's always different individuals that come amongst us to share information. And so, you know, I was fortunate to study under an individual who, like you said, was brilliant. And I'm so happy to have that experience. And from that experience, I learned a lot. And as you spoke to and what we're in the spirit of now, of Kwanzaa and looking at self-determination, is our ability to define ourselves. And, you know, believe it or not, that is something that is so small yet very significant. And that in and of itself is so major. You know, just doing that, sometimes we can overlook a particular problem by looking at it very, very vaguely. But again, within this second principle of Kwanzaa, that the ability to be able to find and name yourself is a very important first step. And so,
let me just add this one real briefly. So, Sammy, I want to just share this so that you know, again, the context of what we're saying. So just so you know, we're talking with Dr. Haseem Kambui, and he is a professor at the university, which he will tell you. But again, I want to cite that his background is in psychology, and he is a mental health counselor. Okay, so again, I just want to put that in context. This is not just a conversation. This is also based on an area of expertise. And don't get me wrong. He's a brother. He's a black man first. All right. But we're sharing with you that some folks have literally gone through a process whereby when we make certain moves, anybody wants to question what we're doing, we are educating you. Shut up. Okay. I'm sorry, Doc. Go ahead.
No. This is your show, Dr. Filet. So. Again, I'm appreciative of being on there. Yes, as you alluded to, in terms of my interactions with Dr. Kwabena Fahim Ashanti, I received at the same time what is considered a traditional or can be considered a traditional training in the academy in terms of being trained as a counselor in a Western sense. However, at the same time, also receiving training as an African psychologist under Dr. Kwabena Fahim Ashanti. And that training wasn't, or shall I say, that training was live experience. And what I mean by that is, like many of us, as you mentioned earlier, you know, we all have, or we all suffer to an extent of dealing with this idea of what I learned to be called as brainwashing. We've all suffered mm-hmm. from it to an extent. And so in recognizing that, I was a participant. When I met Dr. Ashanti, I was a participant in an African Rites of Passage program mm-hmm. in which I began mm-hmm. to, as you said, start to first define myself, and then mm-hmm. from there, then being able to look at culture, because culture is very vague, all right? However, we were able to, in the African Rites of Passage process, put culture under a microscope such that then you can take out these concepts. And as you start to redefine yourself, then you start to redefine other areas of your life. And when you start to do that, then your mental health improves. Now, the fact, just from your ability to be able to define yourself, to define your name, who you are, that has it's something small, but has a huge impact on your psyche. And now mm-hmm. just imagine, for example, if, let's say, race is a part of culture. And when I talk about race, again, I'm aware that some people do not believe in the concept. However, right. though, the concept does exist. We cannot mm-hmm. take the concept away. And so without going further into that, just alone and identifying your race, it's one thing to have an African name. However, to then know your race, because now, right, we still have the confusion of that. Not so much just about the people identifying as black, so-called, and other things. Now you have this movement, unfortunately, that, and again, I'm not putting any movement down because they all play a part in the bigger scheme of things. However, to have you identify as foundational Black American, that's, you know, that's not moving us forward. If anything, we're staying where we are. So there is a fundamental importance there with the concept of race, fundamentally, psychologically, foundationally, to be able to identify your race as an African. And it's very weird where I've interacted with Africans, and believe it or not, every time I've interacted with them and we've had conversations about Africans over here, that's how they identify us. Only we choose to, or at this point in time, do we not identify as Africans. So that's one part of culture, is to, on top of being able to define yourself as, you know, an African, then to identify yourself racially that way. Then the next thing that's so important, that a lot of these areas that have been worked upon, is the ability to feed yourself. I myself, as you mentioned before, I'm in Tallahassee. I am in Florida. In my community, there are several community parks and things of that nature, foods and things. Matter of fact, my neighbor has a garden in his front yard. Something like that is another thing, being able to grow your foods and things of that nature. And it's not, again, it's, yes, in the long run, it becomes bigger than that. However, everything starts with you, one individual, and that's another aspect. That's another small part that's important. You know, a lot of times we look at the numbers, and the numbers do matter to an extent, but to get to those numbers, it has to start with you. It has to start with the one person that goes on to the next person and the other person. And so that aspect of agriculture, you know, being able to grow, being able to – when I was in college, there was a Rastafarian brother that ended up making shoes, and there were some great shoes, but he made those out of things he grew in his garden, believe it or not.
Wow.
That's how he was able to – yeah, so it's not – when you think about agriculture, and that's another area, when you think about agriculture, yes, it's about food and sustenance, but also from that too, it's economic. But again, Joke talked about that when he was referring to education and the role of the woman and how she plays a part in inheritance and also agriculture. Those areas are important, and that agriculture area leads to economic development. And so knowing that was one of the things, and again, I'm like many of the scholars that write, like many of them that I met, the names that I mentioned earlier, Dr. Nobles, Dr. Akbar, Dr. Sante, who I've met, a lot of them that talk about that, they live it. And so what I write about is based upon my experiences in defining myself and learning about ways, learning about agriculture, learning about certain ways of thinking, what I mean by African philosophy and thoughts. You know, we're in Kwanzaa. And within Kwanzaa actually is dealing with right or wrong conduct. And it's right and correct for you as a person to be able to define or have your holiday and to define yourself. And so there are those different type of ideas, the moral ideas. There are all other ideas. Of course, everybody, we always go back for some reason. There's this, I've noticed too as well, there's this huge fascination with Kemet. You know, a lot of people go there. And rightfully so, as a people, we want to be connected. It's something that we see as important. However, as a lot of scholars have always talked about, those civilizations that were there, they have spread out across the continent. And a lot of those ideas out of Met have evolved. And so there's a lot of different philosophical ideas that have relevancy today for us to use. We're not going to, of course, not everything applies, because as Du Bois mentioned, you know, we are, in essence, yes, we're an American. We're African. We're African, but we're also an American. And so mm-hmm. we have things to, and I write about this in my book that I'm actually releasing, dealing with this aspect, learning about history in the sense of African-centered thought, that even though it's talked about, still I think there's a lot of confusion around it. So one of the main things that I want to do is I want to clarify that thought. And so one of the mm-hmm. things that he talked about is we have to, the voice that is, we have to realize what is, and I say, what is good and what's not good, so to speak, to help us in our condition. Because not everything we read from an African context may apply to our situation. So
right.
that is why we have to be able to ask the questions that we do. And
mm-hmm.
again, that's why I listen to you a lot of times, and just the ability to process and think makes us think mm-hmm. about those ideas and how we can apply them. And so with that as well, when you think about different behaviors, as we mentioned, and one of the things that are key about that is role models. I know even mm. before I met Dr. Ashanti, I was fortunate growing up too as well. Even when I wasn't I can say even when I was in where I'm at the present day, I did have a lot of role models, men that shared with me certain things. And so, you know, it's very, very important. Even Dr. Kamban talked about that in
mm-hmm.
with the African-American
oh, yeah.
personality about the
yeah.
social environment and how that is important. And it doesn't, and it's not something that's out of the reach. And I think that's a lot of times, again, sometimes we, I don't want to say overthink, because I don't think there's no such thing as overthinking. But however, I think sometimes we miss some of the things that are simpler to apply that go a long way. And role models and those types of things go a long way in the community. Activities like this. And that was the whole idea even with Dr. Karina. And just think about the brilliance that he did. Ideally, this holiday, I write about this again in the book that I'm releasing, the definitions, Afrocentricity, Afrocentricity, African-centered, Afrocentric, Afrocentric, Afrocentric Pan-Africanism. I talk about this idea of Kwanzaa is a ritual. Ritual mm-hmm. is an education.
Mm-hmm.
The education is once a year, right? Because, again, we know if you put something out there to practice every day, it may not happen with a great majority of us. However, once a year, yes, I can get involved. But the goal was to make this every day. To make this, the idea was to get to what he described as the ethos or the collective behavior, make this it then becomes your personality where you're actually doing this on a regular, every day. He was brilliant in that way. And because I was actually speaking with somebody who's very, what's the word? She does not practice nothing that deals with African culture. But when it comes to Kwanzaa, she practices Kwanzaa. And that's
right.
important.
Right.
Something like that. And that's why I said he was brilliant in the way he did this, and it at some point the Kwanzaa becomes you. You don't need to have a holiday to be able to define yourself and be yourself. However, until then, I have to give you this ritual to allow you to be able to do that. And again, I talk about that in my upcoming book about Afrocentric Pan-Africanism. And then also, again, I'm just relaying different examples about how I went through an African Rites of Passage program and learned about culture. And another aspect beyond race, philosophy, ideology, Agriculture is the Religion Block. That was the book that I released this past year, dealing with religion. And I was on an interview recently dealing with my reparations book, and someone asked me a question about why is it the way I write the way I do, and why do I choose the particular topics to write about. And religion is very, 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 very important. And I know many of us, because of our experience, religion in the Western sense, do not even want to use the word religion to relate to our understanding of nature and the Creator. However, sometimes we have to be aware of our emotions and the definition. In terms of the definition, there is a definition about religion being a particular system that exists. That definition is real. And if we look at that definition of religion, it definitely applies to the context of Africa. Now, our expression of that is is complex in that way, but we did have a system of theology, and it's from that system of theology that we get everything, every aspect. You know, as my teacher always told me.
But Dr. Hasim, I think, now, so you just hit on some of that now. You know, that's kind of my area there. So you hit on something that's very important, and I think it's important that we point out, and you just hit it right there. When you talk about theology, and then you start breaking it down into religion, this is where, so we have to begin to see how the different aspects go into effect that either changes things or takes into another realm. It's just like with law. Law initially would be jurisprudence. So when you study it or look at it in that scope, then you kind of see it in a more holistic manner, or at least that's the concept. Well, the same with theology. When you look at it in that context, then, of course, you're seeing it from a more universal perspective. But when you start going into breaking it down into religion, now we start getting into the different areas of thought, you see? So I just wanted to point that out, because how I think some of the confusion, for lack of a better word, or the differentiations have come about in terms of, you know, the transition from the key element, and then how it's broken down into these other deviations and translations. So once we start extracting from the core piece of it, then we start getting into the perhaps dilution of it. I just wanted to put it out there to folks, because these are some of the discussions that we are going to go more in depth with, because we need to. And lastly, one of the key words you mentioned in terms of ritual, this is why I think for some, you know, people are opting to use the word spiritual, and, you know, more so than religion, because in the word spiritual, you do have the word ritual, you see. So it's kind of an easy connection, and more of a, you know, you can sense it to a greater extent, because in your spirituality, you're not told what to do or how to do it. But in religion, you're told what you should do, what you shouldn't do, and so forth and so on. And it's not just necessarily giving you the ethos or giving you the ethics of things from the whole perspective, but more so from somebody else's translation, you see. So I just wanted to kind of give those that little sidebar.
No, thank you for your sidebar, and I don't disagree with anything you say. I will say this, and something that I heard Dr. Nobles say recently, and it's been said many times over, is we have to be careful. I know at one point there was conversation that we have to cleanse ourselves of what's called European or white concepts. And at that time, yes, I had an idea and understood what they meant. However, you have to be careful not to throw out the baby with the bathwater. In other words, there are some things that you can learn within nature from any group of people. And sometimes, even though it comes from a stranger, you still have to be able to reason or raise questions to see about the relevancy of the idea.
Absolutely.
And to see how it applies. So that's all I would say.
Sure.
I
got you.
I
got you.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I knew that. You know, I knew that, but I just wanted to clarify for our people, because as we start breaking this stuff down further and advancing things, we want to make sure that people are able to really connect the dots to the best extent. We're going to always examine everything, you know, that we possibly can and break it down. But again, it's not necessarily for the purpose of, you know, folks actually embracing it. It's just an examination. And so, again, we're attempting to diffuse and to lessen the confusion of things.
Right.
And so, you know, with that, and using self-determination, you know, present those kinds of concepts that people can draw from. We get it. We get it. But listen, we need to move on. But here's the thing that I want you to mention again. Mention again about your books, because two of them are available, and then you have one pending that's coming out soon, because we want to make sure that, because two of those books we're going to be using in our study group. So I want you to kind of start getting familiar with that. Because for next year, we're literally starting to activate our study groups. Again, as I was telling the Baba earlier, we have to now, we can't just talk about what the problem is. We have to say, here's the problem, and here's what we're going to do to at least make an effort in, you know, getting rid of that problem. So we'll be introducing study groups. We'll have a book list for folks to look at. We're going to also have our own speaker bureau now, so that you can actually bring a speaker to your city, to your college, your university, et cetera, et cetera. So share with folks the two books that are presently available, and then, of course, let them know that there's one forthcoming.
So I actually have three books, and again, I'm very thankful. And there's a story behind that. In brief, and I won't be long, was I received my PhD in 2011, and at that time, I, upon receiving my degree, Dr. Ashanti mentioned to me that he wanted me to write these books. And so subsequently, that led to the first book that I want to share with your audience, Afrocentric Education, Public Schools versus Charter Schools. That's the first book. The second book that I released last year was Reparations, the Afrocentric Pan-African Approach. And then the more recent book I released, as you mentioned, that's in your subject area, as you gave the sidebar on, is Afrocentric Pan-African Patara Set, the Power of God and Religion. And then this next work that is going to be released next month into the new year, that is entitled The Definitions, Afrocentricity, Afrocentricity, African-centered, Afrocentric, Afrocentric, Afrocentric Pan-Africanism. So that is the next book that's going to be released.
Great. And another sidebar, family, just to, so you can kind of hear, there were two words there. One was Afri, which is A-F-R-I, and the other is Afro, A-F-R-O. Okay, because they are similar and actually connected, but it's just some slight differences there, which we'll go into at another time. But it just shows you, again, the evolution, because like we say with MWM, we're getting ready to go through a period of resurrection, which also is a form of evolution, okay? But, again, we'll go all into that at another time. As you can tell, we have really thought some of this stuff out pretty well, pretty carefully. And by the way, I did not mention, again, that our brother is, in fact, a professor at Florida A&M University, FAMU. And, again, one of the things we're going to be talking about, we're going to do a conference. It'll be virtual at first, which will talk about agriculture. And also we have one coming up that will focus on manufacturing, producing our own everything. So I just wanted to give you that sidebar. And for those who are not familiar with Florida A&M, of course, we're talking about agriculture and a mechanical university. That's what it stands for. So, you know, I've talked with Dr. Haseem some months ago in terms of possibly bringing to the college our program as it being perhaps the pilot for our project that deals with growing in our communities, but doing some things at the college as part of this program with Torpedo Pot, using the system and the development of this brilliant black man who has, as we mentioned earlier, not only developed how to replenish the soil, but he also has developed a way of growing, you know, which goes up as opposed to down, which, you know, he can explain it another time, because we're going to be doing a conference again online with some of the black farmers and growers and so forth, and that's, again, a part of our 2022 agenda. But let folks know how they can get the books, because I know that because they're texting me now, they're asking, how can they get the books?
The books are located on Amazon. You can order the books from Amazon. I've actually had them in, as well as in black-owned stores as well, black-owned bookstores. However, you can primarily get it from Amazon.com.
Okay. And again, family, for 2022, we will be featuring books, and you'll be able to get some of them through us. We have, I think, four already, which we'll be sharing with you soon. We have four authors that we will be sharing their books. Of course, the brother James Kligman, we have four of his books that you'll be able to get through us. We also have Bilal. Oh, I don't have it in front of me, but we have two of his books. Bilal Jafari Il, we have two of his books available. And Dr. Iya Adjua is on our list. So we will literally have available for you books that you will be able to purchase from us. All right. All right, family. So listen, we are getting ready to close out. It's 11, and by this being during the week, we know it's got to get up. So we're going to go back to our brother, Dr. Haseem, and get some closing comments from him. And then if Baba is still with us, we'll get some closing comments from him. And then we will leave you for this portion of our Kuji Changalia. Dr. Haseem, you got it.
Happy Kuji Alanja Chia. That's all I have to say.
All right. All right. And moving on with that self-determination. Baba, are you still with us? Okay, maybe not. All right, family. Well, listen, we are going to close the session out. We thank you again.
Yes, I'm still here, sister.
Oh, okay. All right, you got 1 minute to close us out.
Okay, yeah, I got Capital One. Capital One, hold on the line for just 60 seconds because I'm finna close out this call. Yes, go ahead. What you need me to say?
Just some closing comments.
Okay, in closing comments, the brother bought his book. Keep on moving forward with your book. And I definitely want to connect with you as well because that will definitely help and assist with our youth educational program moving forward. So, you know, it's an honor to be listening to you. And I got some things I want to run by you so that you can get validation for yourself or what you're speaking to, especially when we're talking about religion.
In my conclusion,
I'm sending out positive energy for healing and spiritual growth and protection around the world. Ashe, ashe, ashe.
Thank you, Baba. All right, family, we're going to close this session out. We thank you all again. And by the way, that's one of the modalities that I'll be moving into next year a little more so. We didn't mention earlier, again, how I was able to really connect with my brother, Dr. Hashim, is the fact that I received an honorary doctor's degree from Baba Ashanti, and my field of recognition, of course, was and is African religion, but also a ritual. That's my area of specialty, y'all. So I am an honorary doctorate in that field as well. And that was based on work that I had already been doing. Dr. Shanti was gracious enough to recognize that work and as such, you know, made it clear that, you know, that this work needs to be continued. And him as a professional and a Nana, by the way, he was a Nana from the Ashanti Akan, you know, order. And so in recognizing that, he, you know, made sure that I would be given, you know, a kind of recognition that needed to be put in place, given the fact that my undergrad work was, of course, in the area of religion. And then, of course, from there, I did independent study for over 10 years. But at any rate, you're going to be hearing more about that in the very near future. It's not something that I've talked about much because that wasn't my assignment at the time, and I'm moving more into that realm and into that position now. And so you will be hearing more about it in the near future. All right, my brother, Dr. Hashim, always good talking with you later on this week to start moving things forward as we have planned. And family, again, Million Woman March 25 is coming. I can tell you, you really need to get ready because it's going to make a difference all across the board in a very positive, very progressive kind of way. We have formulas that we're introducing to you because, you know, in fields of law and in fields of medicine from an African perspective, we know that remedies go both ways, both in law and in medicine. So it behooves us to introduce to you some remedies, or at least potentially so, and so we shall. All right, Dr. Hashim, I will talk to you later on this week, family. We thank you all for tuning in, and hey, enjoy your Kwanzaa. Of course, we'll be coming back to you. Probably we'll do another special edition. I'm not sure if it's going to be tomorrow. It might be for Ujamaa for Cooperative Economics. And then, of course, on Friday, we will be doing our Kaumba. That'll be live and on Zoom and also in the community. But I'll give you more information about that on Wednesday evening, okay, when we do our next special edition, which I think will be Wednesday evening. All right, family, we are out. We thank you again. And in the background is none other than Fela. Oh, we forgot to tell you, we'll be doing our first Fela Festival in 2022. See y'all later. Peace out.
Why you rest my leg for ground? You're not my leg for home. Why you rest my leg for ground? You're not my leg for home. Question, don't talk for a moment. Question.